Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome to our show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money, you want your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, cash flow, and prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now, to live that life that you love, doing what you love with those that you love. But most importantly, guys, it's not just about making money. It's about creating a life of impact and meaning, because as you're blessed financially, you can create more impact and bless more lives too. And guys, thank you so much for allowing me to create a ripple effect for you. Thank you for all the things that you're doing. And seriously, some of the best listeners that are out there today. And I know Gary's going to find that out as we introduce him today too. So anyways, quick reminder, go to our website, moneyripples.com. You can download the free ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today. So check it out. Hey, how would you love to earn up to 10% on your money every year while also helping people stay in their homes? Guys, that's exactly what the fund with American Homeowner Preservation allows you to do. You can invest with as little as $100 and be able to use that money to help people stay in their homes by being able to refinance so they can stay in the homes with the families that they love. And guys, this is only open now until November 5th, until it's closed for the rest of the year. So if you want to learn more information about this, go check out their website, www.fundingahp.com. That's F-U-N-D-I-N-G-A-H-P as in American Homeowner Preservation. com. Check it out. All right. So as I said, I'm bringing back on Gary Boomershine again for the second time now. We had him on about a year and a half ago and definitely gave some great value then. And we're going to have him back on again today. Specifically, if you guys have ever been asking, how do I do something like short-term rentals, like Airbnbs and things like that, but not have it be like this full-time business? Because I know a lot of you guys work hard, whether you're in your own businesses already or you're employees, right? And you're looking for ways to create passive income and you want leverage now. And so that's one of Gary's fortes among many. Just give you a background on Gary. I mean, he founded realestateinvestor.com. Yeah, yes, he actually got that website back in 2005, talking about how to scale and grow your real estate investing businesses and things like that. Lots of experience in various types of real estate investing and is here today. So Gary, welcome back to our show.
It's a pleasure, Chris. Super excited about this. And boy, what an interesting time. A year and a half has happened. Doesn't it feel like, with this whole COVID thing, whatever that is. It feels like five to 10 years. Every day is like a new thing, right? So mm-hmm. I'm super excited. Hopefully I can add some great value to your loyal listeners today.
Yeah. So, give them a little bit more about your background, because I know there are so many topics we could cover today, but I wanted to pick one that I knew some of the listeners haven't heard, very much detail on, but give us a little bit more background on you.
Yeah, for sure. And I am a huge, huge supporter of the Airbnb rental market. It's actually what I'm doing from a real estate perspective. That's probably my primary. And then I love also lending for passive income, private lending. But my background, I'll try to make this quick without a lot of backstory, but I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs. Real estate specifically. I'm from California, right in the heart of the San Francisco Bay Area, born and raised, multi-generation, and went to UC Davis, met my wife there, and we're now married 27 years. I've got two daughters, one that just graduated from college down in Southern California, and one that is 17, going on to her senior year in high school, and what's interesting is in California, a year and a half ago, if you go back to that podcast, I talked about real estate being a 7-year cycle. I've been talking about this for probably 3 years. It's been a 7-year cycle for 100 years, almost to the day, actually. Mm-hmm. And it has never been natural supply and demand. It's always been what I have called a boogeyman event. Uh-huh. So 9/11, the mortgage collapse, 2008, I call it boogeyman. You can drill into that however you want, but it's an artificial event that happens that has actually changed the course. And it's so this this particular cycle is the longest that we've had. We're now at year 13, and I can say a couple things. It's just this boogeyman event. I call it COVID. That's what it is. And I think that we are going to go through one of the biggest transfers of wealth in our entire history. And those people that are on the right side of the equation and preparing for it are going to be, you know, on the right side and taking advantage of it. And those that are not may get a bit crushed. And so I'm excited about it. I think I've been coaching all of my clients, the three P's, which is this is a time to, number one, protect. It's number two, to pivot. And then number three, to profit. And I see the opportunity around real estate as a huge opportunity, but this is a time to also be very cautious because it's euphoric. We're seeing unprecedented, a lot of things that we saw in the previous cycles. We get into the euphoric stage. You know, Warren Buffett, right? Very smart guy. He always says buy low and sell high.
Yeah.
And you know, and then it's also buy when the blood is in the street. And I remember growing up, I'm 52, grew up in a real estate family. I was a licensed agent 3 weeks after turning 18. Everybody else is like figuring out, you know, who they're going to date or, you know, what party they're going to. And I was getting my real estate license. I actually paid for my college by working in the family business. We had rental properties. I didn't even want to do real estate. I actually went down the Silicon Valley. It was the boom of the dot-com era. So I got a computer engineering degree, specifically in analytics. And data analytics and business process. I went and worked for the largest management consulting firm in the world, number two behind IBM, Accenture, Anderson Consulting. And then I moved away because it was an incredible experience working 90-hour weeks for 5.5 years and traveled everywhere, but I never actually saw the light of day. I was always in a building working long hours.
Yeah.
So I decided through mentoring and really good coaching that instead of swapping my hours for money, that might sound familiar for a lot of us, to get into sales, because I thought it was a nice cushy life. So I went into enterprise software sales. What that is selling a $500,000 to $5 million software stuff sold on in space, you can't see it, and learning how to sell that to the Fortune 500. And that was an incredible journey. I learned a lot. And then it was really 2004, my wife and I, long story there, but we're like, you know what? We had no life. 2003, I had 180,000 miles on United Airlines alone. And I would come home and I think I changed 4 diapers with 2 babies. I was never home and the dogs would even bark at me because they didn't recognize me. And my wife and I said, you know what? This is no life. We want a family, and I had 2 daughters. So we basically took our nest egg and we went full-time real estate. And I never recommend that, by the way. I don't think you should just, you know, quit your jobs and do the Napoleon burn the ships. We did it. And I'd never recommend that. But real estate is something that's tangible. I think that it is going to be an incredible opportunity. And you know, for me on the real estate side, I like alternative investments, by the way. The stock market, to me, it's organized gambling. And
there's
a lot of people that know how to make money. And I like alternative investment. The thing about real estate, it's everywhere. And it's usually pretty easy to value. You know, in a stock, when we buy a company, let's say the company is worth $1 million, right? You know, the average PE ratio is like 37 times the value, which is insane. That's like out of historic, you know, the average has been like 16. But when you look at a property, you can see a property and it's pretty easy. It's like that property is worth $1 million or whatever. You can see what the rents are and you're kind of buying it for what it is. And then just like Warren Buffett says, you know, what is a real estate investor? It's somebody that buys a physical asset, happens to be real estate, whatever it is, a single family property, an apartment, storage, Airbnb. They buy it with cash, they invest in it, and then they hold it for the long haul, and they take all the advantages that real estate offers. It's actually an acronym called IDEAL, and including the tax benefit. And I would summarize that into three buckets. And so one lesson I would share for everybody in real estate, I think there's three buckets. There's cash now, there's cash flow, and then there's cash later.
Yeah.
And a lot of real estate investors get into real estate investing. They're not really real estate investors. They are real estate business owners.
That's right.
They're running a business. These guys are flipping and wholesaling. If that's a new term for everybody, you know, it's like a one-time transaction. You buy a property, you fix it up, do a bunch of work, and then you sell it and you're paid one time. That's cash now. And that's a job. And a job is what I consider just over broke. It's like, right? It's a one-time transaction. It's the cash flow. It means you do work one time and then you get a lifetime of cash flow off of it. So it's a one-time transaction. And I think most of us really should be focused on that. That's why I love Airbnb. But that would be like rental properties, Airbnb, also private lending, where we're lending out money, like being Wells Fargo or Bank of America, great returns. I love that. And then the cash later, and that comes from equity buildup and appreciation.
Right.
Right. And I think those are the three buckets. When anybody's thinking about real estate, put it into those three buckets. And I have a philosophy of keep the best, sell the rest. Your real estate means, you know, there's a lot of people that are buying 10 houses and they're flipping all 10.
Yeah.
That's a job. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like keep two and then sell eight. Keep three, sell, you know, sell what have you. So anyway, I think just where the market's going, just to digress a little bit, I think that people right now, this is a euphoric stage. The metric is that 15% of all properties right now are being bought by corporations. They're being bought by BlackRock. There's like billions of dollars that are on the street throwing into real estate. They don't even care. Like Zillow took a $1 billion loss last year. So they're playing for the long haul, right? And so that's what we're competing with. That's why we're seeing crazy prices all over the market, no inventory. That the musical chairs are going to end. There's going to be a massive number of foreclosures in a lot of areas of the country when the musical chairs, right? Everybody, you know, the government's dishing out money at unprecedented amounts. I don't want to get this political, but it's like, that doesn't work. That's never historically worked. So there's going to probably be a supply of foreclosures that are going to hit. There's going to probably, some of the coastal areas are going to take a pretty hard hit, followed by massive appreciation, or what I would term inflation.
Yeah.
So all of us should ultimately get into holding physical assets. I like physical assets. I love owning real estate. I love owning physical metals. And I love doing lending in first position, and also a really good hedge against the downturn. And I think those people are starting to plan for that now. There's a huge future. So we can switch into Airbnb. I love Airbnb for so many reasons. And I can also tell, I wouldn't say myself as an absolute subject matter expert. I can give you like the fundamentals that I'm doing. I'm not I don't go out, I'm not trying to buy 100 properties or 1,000 properties. I'm the type of guy that time is the most important commodity that we have. It's not the money. It's the passive income and our freedom of time. And even on the entrepreneurial side, what I see everybody wanting to get into real estate, a lot of people moving into real estate, and really at the end of the day, they want financial freedom and they want a lifestyle. They want to break the bondages of slavery. And I really think if we're focused on passive income and focus on the long term, you know, you're going to win. And everybody, I have a new book coming out. I'll give it to everybody. It's in the final editing stages. I'd love to give all of your listeners a free copy. It's called The Freedom Code. And in there, I say everybody is 7 properties away from being completely financial free. And anybody can do it part time. And then I walk through how to do it. It's a strategy book. It's not a book on wholesaling, flipping, rehabbing. There's 1,000 of those. This is more of a strategy book of 17 years of doing it, making a lot of mistakes, and my gift back to everybody. So that's coming out. I'm really excited about it. It's a faith-based book, but all my mistakes, and then here's the things to really understand. And we can talk about that if we still have time.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, I agree with you. A lot of our listeners really don't want to buy massive portfolios. They're not looking to create an empire of real estate, right? They want to create that lifestyle, like you said, that freedom. And of course, the concern I always hear with short-term lending, with Airbnbs, right? Short-term rentals. The problem that you have is, of course, that often it can be time intensive because it's also a business. It could be like much like doing wholesaling to some level if you're not careful, you know, where it's very much a trend. It could be not so much transactional, but it's very much a business and time intensive. So how does somebody create something where maybe they don't have to have a lot, but how do they do something where the time can be leveraged a lot better?
Yeah. So, you know, I've got a daughter, Haley. She, I have two daughters, one that just finished up college and in Southern California at a school called Biola. Mm-hmm. And she has a huge heart for serving. That's what she wants. I mean, she really wanted to get into nursing, and then all the regulations and stuff coming down on the nurses. She was going to get into midwifery. She, you know, at the end of the day, she loves serving, but she mm-hmm. also realizes there's not a lot of money there. So one of the things that I've taught her, and this is part of also this concept I want to share called the family economy, you know, in mm-hmm. COVID, we really should be thinking about building our own family economy. So
yeah,
my daughter, it's like, Haley, you know, here's the thing. Okay. Take what you're passionate about, what you're uniquely qualified, right? What you're gifted at mm-hmm. and connect those two dots. And I mean, you could be an artist and you have, you know, there's like amazing artists or whatever it is. So find those two. That's your dream. You may find the services industry doesn't give you the freedom and the money that you want. I'm mm-hmm. like, if you were to buy one property every 12 months and you did that for the next 7 years, and I walk her through how to do it, she goes, oh my gosh, Dad, how am I going to get the money? I'm like, the money is actually the easy part. It's finding the property and the deal. If you find the deal, the money is easy to come. Like, for instance, yeah. we have a family economy. You can tap into us. So she's out looking for properties. She's learning how to buy them. And her goal is to get one property. Mm-hmm. She'll probably move into it. So young person, I've actually coached. I've got Justin Sheffrey up in, he's an amazing kid up in Seattle. And mm-hmm. I think he's on like his 20th property. He actually put college on hold and he's making more money. But the idea is he's buying a property. He's going to rent out the other units to friends because he's not married, right? He's going to cash flow it. So it basically breaks even because all the mm-hmm. renters that he's renting it to paying down the mortgage.
Right.
So that builds up equity. And then he'll use that and then he'll go on to the next one. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really how to get started is really focus on, I think, you know, I share this in the book, but getting clear on the why and the what, not the how. Mm-hmm. The why is what is the why? Why do you want to get into real estate? And what is your life going to look like? What do you want for your life? And most people, it really comes down to some passive income. So yeah. I can tell everybody, most people, they don't even, you know, Robert Kiyosaki did such a great job in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but he basically said the definition of wealthy is when your passive income, mailbox money, mm-hmm. right, wherever it always comes in, is greater than your expenses. And most of us are probably somewhere between 8,000 and 20,000 a month. We mm-hmm. had that coming in, we're done, right?
Yeah.
So that should be the focus. It shouldn't be $10 million in your bank account or 100 properties or whatever. It's what you have in passive income. So focusing on that, it's one property. And then, you know, and there's some basic fundamentals of how to value properties. It's not rocket science. Mm-hmm. It really, like, if I told you, like, I know painters, she's a cleaner, her husband and her wife, they actually clean houses. And they've already acquired 9 houses that they're doing this with.
Yeah.
So like, you know, focus on what your end goal is and, you know, and just focus on that. And there's a lot of shiny objects everywhere. There's a lot of seminars mm-hmm. and there's a lot of stuff. Everybody wants to sell you something. It's like, stay focused. Don't go, you know, you're going to, you pick like, do I want single family or do I want apartment? Yeah. I like single family. I like single family because it's easy to value, a little bit of a lower cost. I like Airbnbs because, especially with COVID right now, right? Mm-hmm. Having a long-term renter in, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the next lockdown that's going to come at some point.
Yeah.
But Airbnb is short-term.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then it's just fundamentals of things like buying in the right location. So mm-hmm. if you're buying an Airbnb, you want to buy the location, 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 the oldest rule of real estate, number one. Number two is I like to look at other properties. You can go out to VRBO, mm-hmm. Vacation Rental by Owner, or HomeAway. You can go out to Airbnb. There's actually a site, I should pull it up right now, but there's a site where you can just type in the address and it'll tell you what, you know, what the rents are and what you should expect.
Uh-huh.
I like planning conservatively. So I like somewhere between 50 and 65% occupancy. I go 50%. I don't care where it is. It could be, we had a property in Maui. It was like up until COVID, it was 95% occupied.
Uh-huh.
One little condo in Hawaii in Kaanapali we owned since 2004. And we were grossing like $120,000 a year in gross rent.
Wow.
And from afar, my wife is, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom and she does Bible school, you know, and that was her little side project from afar. So it's, you know, you plan go conservative. Always be conservative. Most real estate investors are speculators. They mm-hmm. always, you know, they always bet for the up. You want to think more like a banker, which is the downside. And then you run, you know, almost, you can even do it on the back of an envelope. And then the key with a Airbnb is a really, really good property manager.
Yeah.
It's all about the property manager. And I would recommend everybody from day one on your first, a lot of people make the mistake that they want to do it themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, oh, I'm going to do it myself. And that is the first rule of real estate that most people break. And that's a trap. You mm-hmm. always want to think of it as a business, right? Think like a business person. Every CEO, I always say, if you're doing $10 an hour work as a CEO, you're going to have a $10 bank account. You know,
right.
if you're going to buy a pizza parlor, imagine being in the pizza parlor business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine buying the business and taking the orders and then going back and cooking the pizzas and then putting on your delivery hat and getting in the mm-hmm. car and going delivering it? No. Real estate is a finance game, number one. Number two, it's a game of leverage.
Mm-hmm.
So you leverage other people's money, bank financing, private money, family money. And then number two is leverage other people's time, experiences, and resources. So you got to get those things right. And it's really not that hard. I can tell you one of the oldest trainers in real estate was a guy who was a mechanic,
mm-hmm.
like in Jacksonville, Florida, Ron LeGrand. Is
oh, yeah.
His name.
Yep.
Right. And Ron, one of the oldest trainers, and almost all these guys, Fontaine, some of these old timers.
Chris Prefontaine.
And Chris, and he's awesome too. I was thinking, you know, Jack Miller, who's passed away. These guys are just humble, basic, mostly blue collar people. And if mm-hmm. they can do it, right, you follow their methods and their best practices. And I'll say another thing. I know I'm probably most people when they hear me, their heads explode. It's like writing stuff down, and I have that habit. I'm called the nutty professor, by the way. But here's the thing, just like King Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Don't reinvent the wheel in real estate.
Yeah.
Everything has been invented. What you want to do is you want to follow somebody else that actually has that model. They've already done it, and just follow what they did. Somebody that's really doing the business today and it's working. And you follow what they do and do it exactly, right? Get it working and prove it out. And then you can make it better. A lot of people, they think that they're smarter than everybody else. So they try to they reinvent the wheel. It's like, don't reinvent the wheel. Just follow what works, right? Make it work, have some success at it, and then you can improve it.
Yeah. Well, I know we're about out of time, but I want to get one like good tip to sink our teeth into. So with the short-term rentals, with these Airbnbs, you mentioned you got to get a good property manager, right? What would you recommend as a step that they can take to find a good property manager specifically for short-term rentals? Because it's not just finding any property manager. We want to find a good one for that. What's a good step they can take, especially if it's a market that they're not in?
Yeah, best way to do it is actually go out to VRBO or Airbnb and find out, you know, who are the property managers of those properties. Make some phone calls. This is a real estate. It's a people business.
Yeah.
You got to talk to people. TTP. So yeah. The easiest way to do it is you ask. You go and you meet somebody at an Airbnb. Mm-hmm. Or you go in your local area and you just ask them, you know, there's a property manager who's typically more of the handyman that can actually handle some of those things. And then the second mm-hmm. one that's super important is the cleaner. Who's going to come in and actually take care of it?
Yeah.
An Airbnb can be absolutely ridiculously passive.
Uh-huh.
So it's like the easiest business model in the world. I'm going to give you guys a really quick, for the audience, I'm going to give everybody an example. So my wife and I, we bought this property in 2004 in Maui.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a property manager, and it was probably the source of a lot of marriage contention because we got a lot of negative reviews. My wife hates confrontation,
mm-hmm.
and I do too as well. And we're just not who we are. And so we get negative reviews and things would be broken and we'd get these calls. And we ended up, it took us way too long, but we ended up changing over to another property manager. It was actually it was a church called Kumalani. It's a Harvest Dave Laurie church that mm-hmm. A friend said go. And it was just this amazing divine interaction. We found out one of the guys that we actually were referred to runs the property management company. And I'll tell you, it was turnkey. It was the easiest thing in the world. Like, we never had any complaints. We got 5-star ratings. You know, on the Airbnb, you don't even have to talk to people, by the way.
Yeah.
It's all electronic. So, mm-hmm. you know, the booking is easy. Even my wife and I, you know, on the Airbnb, I get somebody over in the Philippines.
Yeah.
That kind of manages some of those bookings for us. You can find somebody for $5 or $6 an hour and, mm-hmm. you know, for 10 hours a week.
Yeah.
Which is nothing. Right. Mm-hmm. They can do any of the extra work, just make sure things are smooth. I really do like to also have a bookkeeper. Mm. So on those things, it's like, don't try to do your own books. Like, just have somebody else. All that stuff is downloadable. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you just put that into the cost. You run it like a business.
Yeah.
Right. It's about time. And anybody, I don't care whether you're working 70, 80 hours a week, everybody can actually have one or two free Airbnb properties in the next year. And, you know, location, number one, you want to be in areas. I do like, you know, like, I'll give you an example. We're looking at Jacksonville Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that area. We went out there, Total Freedom. We actually are going to go out there for the month of October. We were there in April for the month. And, you know, I walked into a little coffee store. And I was joking with the guy because he left his wallet and his computer and went off to the bathroom. And I was joking with him how I was going to take it and hide it from him. Turns out he's a realtor and he's sending us deal flow all the time. So we're looking at properties, you know, everywhere you go. Here's the business again. Everybody's a lead. It's all a relationship. All you have to do is just tell people that you're looking for real estate. You know, you're looking for real estate or, you know, everybody's a lead. It might be a seller. It might be a buyer. It might be a property manager. It might be a lender. It's all a people business. And you don't have to be social, or you could be introverted or extroverted. You just realize everybody's a lead and start communicating to the world that you're looking for real estate. You'll find deal flow starts coming your way. Then there are some mechanics of how to learn. There's some good trainers on Airbnb, but it's really not that hard. I tell everyone, 7 properties away from being completely financially independent. And it's not about getting 100 or 1,000. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Like, figure out, you know, what do you want your life to look like? From my perspective, you know, I want to be able to travel. I want to be with my kids. I have 3 different businesses. I have a 5-10-3 rule. The three is the 3 hours a day I work in my business 3 days a week. My business is, right? I wake up at 5, I start my business day at 10, and then I do 3 hours of CEO work of how am I going to move the marker, and then I leverage other people and get really good at that. So awesome. I'll give you, if you'd like, I know we're short on time.
Yeah.
If you, the book is not out yet. It, by the time that, I know that this is going to be coming out a little bit later on the podcast. So the book may be out. I'm going to give you a text number. So you're going to text this number, and then I'd like you to put cash flow in the message, and you'll get a bunch of free, some of my best stuff for realestateinvestor.com, how to build a business that works for you. Right as COVID happened, I did a 90-minute presentation. Everybody said that needs to get out to everybody, and just some extra tools to really set you on the right path on the lessons that I've learned. And then my free book. This will tell everybody that as soon as our book comes out, I'll give you a free copy, The Freedom Code. It's 925-320-0575. So you just text that number, put cash flow in the message, 925-320-0575. And then realestateinvestor.com. If you are a more of an active, you know, real estate business operator, whether you're fairly new, maybe you're a hybrid agent, the hybrid agent means you're buying property too and also doing listings. We have a host of services, and we're our mission is to create a measurable difference that impacts lives. We've been doing it for a long time. If there's anything we can help you with, we got a ton of content. I have a podcast as well that's been running, and I'd love, it has an impact for you or somebody you know, I'd love to hear about it. It totally, you know, it's the significant part that is so empowering on making so many mistakes. I love sharing the stuff so that other people don't have to make the mistakes. And I feel very blessed on being able to do that.
Awesome. Well, Gary, really appreciate your generosity, your time today. So yeah, we'll definitely put that number in the show notes so people can text cash flow to that, and you'll get access to the book as well as a lot of the other resources you have too. So really appreciate it.
Awesome. It was great. And thank all of you, and God bless you. And you know what? This is going to be one of the biggest transformations of wealth. And I'll leave one of my favorite quotes from Henry Ford. And he said, if you believe you can, or you believe you can't, you're right. So I think you can, and stay focused, and God bless everybody.
Well, you heard it, folks. That's it. You know, make sure whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right. And so the best thing you can do with the resources is take at least one or a few things what Gary taught. He taught so many good nuggets here. Take a few of those things, act on it. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer as well. Act on those things, make it work in your life so your life changes too. Go make a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later. Hey!
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.